Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Security Repo Podcast. Today, I'm very happy that we have Rachel Steffens back as a guest for us today. If you missed last week's episode, we talked about shifting left and the trend in security to put more of the emphasis earlier on in the process and how that happens. But today, we're taking a different approach. We're going to look at some of the latest trends that are happening in security tooling and what they really mean. Now, I have some opinions about this that will probably come through during the episode, but Rachel here is going to help us steer this conversation. So, Rachel, welcome back. It's great to have you back on the show for another episode.
Thank you for having me again. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So, last episode, we were talking a little about the overall shift left movement, but what organizations really trying to do with that, and I loved your answer. It's they're trying to figure out how to get better at this, how to get better at security. And there's a term that has popped up, I have noticed, being used a lot in the last year, and that's posture. Gartner has marked four different categories so far of security posture management: cloud, SaaS, data, and the latest one, 2023, coming up on a year now, by the time you'll hear this episode, it's been about a year since they announced it, was ASPM, Application Security Posture Management. So I would love to understand from your seat, like, what do you think of that? Like, maybe we can start with just how are you all defining what this means from the Red Monk perspective?
Right. So step one to this conversation is to clarify that Red Monk, for the most part, does not play the category game. We kind of let the market settle that out itself rather than us trying to define it. So we, like many of the vendors and consumers in this space, are also trying to be like, okay, like what's the difference between all these things? Because a lot of these categories bleed into one another and evolve from one thing to another thing. And so I think the cleanest answer from my perspective is, like, I don't think that there's a clean definition of what explicitly is and is not this category. And I think the other thing that's really tricky about the ASPM space in particular is that a lot of the vendors that kind of started out as ASPM vendors, then I feel like it's a little bit like the observability space, if you've watched that, where it's like there was really clearly defined, like, I am an observability player. And then everyone from, like, the APM space came in and it's like, we do observability too. I feel like that's kind of what has happened in ASPM, where it's like everybody is now an ASPM vendor. And all of these tools are playing in this space. And it's a little bit convoluted about what is actually happening here. So if you are confused, you should not feel alone.
Thank you for that. Actually, I love that perspective. You're not alone out there if you have no idea what ASPM actually means. That should put some people at ease out there that, no, you didn't miss the reading that one thing that would have cleared all of this up. This is just tricky and messy right now. But haven't we seen this before? Isn't this just ASOC all over again?
Yeah, so ASOC is Application Security Orchestration and Correlation, which I think is really kind of the predecessor to where ASPM kind of came on the scene. And I think for me, it might help to maybe back up a little bit. So if we think about application security overall, like, we have AppSec, which is, we just want to kind of protect our applications from vulnerabilities. And that's kind of just like this broad overarching umbrella. And that's been around for a long time. And then we had DevSecOps kind of take off. And in this world where we start to look at this holistic SDLC, and we are getting lots of point solutions for various security tools along the way. And we're shifting things left. But a lot of the times things shifted left into, like, I want to have my scanning tools for SAST and NAST, and then we have container scanning and we have image scanning. Like, all of these things kind of come together in a way where it was great that we had all these tools, but we needed a place where we had visibility into all of those tools. And I think that's kind of where ASOC came in, where it's like, I want to have, like, this single pane of glass where all of these results start to come together. And that's great. How many single panes of glasses have we all had at various points in our careers, though, is the problem. And so then I think where I'm starting to see kind of the vision of ASPM is, can we have tools that not necessarily like one ring to rule them all, but like, can we start to do multiple things in a single tool, including multiple scans, multiple ways that we can start to get data in to this tool? And can it start to have value in terms of not just I have surfaced and made it visible, but can I help you remediate it? So it's, for me, ASPM is kind of an evolution on that vision of the ASOC. But again, like I said, it's messy and it's still really nebulous. And if you go trying to find a clean definition of what you actually need to be an ASPM vendor, it's really going to vary, honestly, based off of like whichever vendor website you're on. It's like, this is what an ASPM is. And oh, look, consequently, it is all the things that we do. And so there's not really a clean definition of what actually falls into this ASPM umbrella. But in my mind, it's really just what can we provide for you to scan and remediate your applications for vulnerabilities?
Because I've been feeling like, you know, like almost like an idiot, because I'm in this space and ASPM has like kind of popped up, and I've noticed that all these vendors have switched. Like a week ago, they were software supply chain security. Now they're ASPM security, and they all do different things. So I'm kind of like, how does this all fit together? So one of the questions I have is why? Why do we need these new categories? Why does Gartner, because it's Gartner that created this, why do we keep coming up? Is there some kind of, is there profit behind this? Is there a reason why we need to have these categories? Does it help security?
There's a cynical answer to this.
she's questioning. She's like, do I want to destroy my chance of ever working for Gartner?
there is a cynical answer to that, which I think you maybe have answered yourself. I think the reason, if you want to take the view of like, why do we keep doing this to ourselves? Like, part of it is that when we change the measuring stick, everybody has to then measure to your new, like we do create some of that spin in terms of like, oh, I must be able to do this, and therefore I must spend on this new vendor, or I must get more consulting, because like there is part of it that is just that cynical answer of there is this hot new thing and I must be able to do whatever is required to meet that standard. The thing that I think is interesting is if you try not to be cynical, which is harder and harder as you go along in this industry, is what is it that we are trying to accomplish? And I think what it is we are trying to accomplish a view of the landscape is changing, the tools therefore need to change, and how can we be thinking about how all these tools come together? And so I think one of the things that's interesting about the landscape question right now is thinking about what's happening to categories overall in the software industry. And before I do this, because this is going to be a whole tirade, do we want to pause for comments from either of you, or do you want me to just go full steam ahead?
Go. Okay. I want the tirade. Dwayne, I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it.
Okay. So one of the things about our industry is that we have this pendulum that swings back and forth between kind of like this Unix philosophy of specialized point position tools, and this is way too much for any one person to be able to understand. I want something that just does everything for me. So like generalist to specialist tooling swings back and forth. And right now we are definitely seeing that pendulum swing towards that consolidated view of the world. And we see this in a lot of different ways. So like we see it from the ever growing like drumbeat around platform engineering would be one thing that we see this in. We talked in the last episode around kind of the observability space of like APMs and observability logging metrics tools all kind of converging into one another. We see it in places like the what was previously like PagerDuty. PagerDuty is now doing like runbooks and alerting. So it's not just alerting, but can we do runbooks? Can we do remediation? Like, can things start to come together? We're seeing it in the database world where we start to see what was previously a specialized database become a multimodal database because people are kind of seeking out adjacencies. And this comes from both the vendor perspective and the user perspective. This consolidation makes sense. From the vendor perspective, it is, you can again have that cynical take of like, I will have a bigger market over here if I can also do XYZ things in addition to the thing that I'm doing now. And so I have bigger market potential if I can increase what it is that my product does. From a vendor or from a customer perspective, it also has value because what we've created right now is this landscape where we have all of these tools, all of these solutions that people have kind of stuck together with baling wire and chewing gum to try to get this holistic way to get an application done. And it's really hard. Our pipelines are brittle. The way that we are building is fragile, and it's really hard for any one person to understand how all of these pieces come together. And so if you're telling me there is a tool that can do that, I already know that I already have in place that can do these things for me, then I would really love to try to like get rid of some of this overhead and have these things work together. And the trade-off is maybe the consolidated tool or platform doesn't have all of the same capabilities that the point solution tools would, but does it have enough that I just don't care? And so we're starting to see some of that trade-off. And I think one of the things that we are definitely seeing is people consistently choosing that I want the simplification trade-off over some of these other things. And so what we're seeing in the market is that drive towards consolidation, that drive towards platforms. And so in that general view of the world, the ASPM kind of looks like there is a drive for platforms. And so I think if you think about it from that perspective of like, how can we have tools come together and make it easy for people? That's where ASPM is coming in.
Yeah. And you know, it's kind of interesting. And the reason why I'm cynical about this, you know, is kind of someone described the ASPM to me and what it all meant. And I was, they said, okay, so ASPM is, it gives you a holistic view of your application security, right? And it's one tool where everything can come in and you can deal with one tool and it has all these different points. And I was like, oh, so it's a SIEM. Like, was meant to be a SIEM? Like, we've just given it a new name. And they're like, no, it's not a SIEM. It's not a SIEM. It's ASPM. You know, and then no one could tell me why it's not. So that's kind of the reason why I was cynical. But I do see, and I can see the industry where we're going towards, because one of the problems with SIEMs is that often you can't get everything to talk nicely. And especially when it comes for remediation steps, like an alert can come in, but then what do you do with it? And that's where these different platforms started coming up. And then ASPM, I guess, would be the fact that we've got one platform that not only gives you the alerts, but it also can help you guide through the next steps of that because it's all one, basically, it's all one platform. And that's kind of how I think about it, but I'm still skeptical.
I don't know. I think you're right to be skeptical. Like, how many times has our industry promised, like, write once, run anywhere? Like, that's kind of what this is like, how many times have we promised a single view of everything that's happening? Like, it is probably a pipe dream, but it's a pipe dream that's never going to go away.
Yeah, yeah.
The Java community has been promising that the entire time. JVM, you know, just it's a miracle. It'll run everywhere. No security problems ever. Don't think about Log4j.
Dwayne, you just got the whole Java community coming after you with one sentence.
I love the Java community. It was my first community. I was there when Oracle bought Sun. Wasn't that? But anyway, one of the things that I have had a lot of conversations about this. I've recently given a talk on the general trends of security posture management. So I have a very near and dear to my heart or at this particular moment in time to talk about this. But the thing that keeps coming up the most is the movement away from alert management, vuln management, threat management into how do I intelligently talk about risk with the rest of my company? And how do I balance? I have these threats. They're going to exist. Vulnerabilities are going to exist. Exploits are going to exist. But it's going to cost us $2 million to solve a $100 million problem, or it's going to cost us $3 million to solve a $500,000 problem. Like, how do you balance all that out? And that's where I see the conversation going with this. But it goes back to what you said originally. It's like, we've always just wanted that magical one pane of glass that will tell us everything we need to know to do our job. I think that's the other thing we're trying to just completely invent that thing. So is, and I think you already talked about this a little bit, is this just managing the alerts you have, or is with the tools you have, like does better coordinate that? Don't use the word orchestration because, well, we already used that term somewhere else. Or is this moving into, we need new types of scanners? We need new types of tools to solve literally a higher level question.
That would be the $1 million question that every single vendor is asking right now in terms of, can I sell you one more thing on top of the things you already have? I think for me, the ideal version of ASPM is going to be multiple scans ideally should fall into it. And then you should be able to incorporate scanning tools that you have elsewhere into it. And it should come together into a unified alerting platform, and visibility and remediation should be able to be part of that. I think we talked about this in the last episode in terms of, it's really going to depend on where you're starting from and what tools you already have in place in terms of how you actually put all of these puzzle pieces together. But my guess, and this is just a guess, is a lot of the times when enterprises adopt these kind of technologies, they adopt it with the idea of, we can augment what we have, and then if it turns out to be good, then we can replace or rip and replace things that are duplicative. And usually that's kind of like, we'll add in, we'll make sure it's all good, and then we can tear out like excess things after. Because like we said with security, like it matters not to miss things. And so we want to kind of make sure that if we're starting to pull in this like tool where it's like, we have several scanners in one, that's great. We probably already have a lot of these scanners because we are an enterprise. It's like, how do these all come together in a way where, I guess the long answer to my question is, I'm guessing that most enterprises are going to spend additional money on this. I guess is where I'm coming from. But yeah, I think for me, the question though is, when you're talking about risk management, I think one of the things that engineers in general struggle with is how to communicate with their business counterparts what our decisions actually mean in ways that matter. And so I think I wrote a piece about this a long time ago about how our conversations around technical debt tend to be extremely flawed, because our business counterparts tend to think about debt as like, okay, like I have taken out a loan or a mortgage and I have fixed interest payments and I know what I'm getting into and I know what the repayment terms look like. And I understand, like, debt is actually not very scary to a lot of people who are in the business world, because it's a common financial instrument that comes with really fixed terms. And so when we say we have technical debt because we are making these trade-offs of like, I want to ship this now, but then I'm going to have interest payments later. But a lot of the times in technology, those interest payments are not interest payments in the same way that the business world sees interest payments. It's something where it is unknown in terms of when I'm going to need to pay it back, how big it's going to explode when it comes, like how is this going to balloon? The element of risk is something that is usually totally lost in a lot of these conversations. And the risk is what we really need to be communicating to our business partners. And I think the same applies when we're talking about security. It's like, how can we communicate our risk? And how can we communicate where we are making these trade-offs, what trade-offs we are making, and how this might potentially impact us? And so if we can have a tool that can, in theory, help us communicate that better, that's going to be an important tool. I think, again, it's going to be the devil's in the details of, yeah, can these tools actually
and,
do
and,
that?
And using the tools. I mean, you know, I'm trying to think, like, I work for a security vendor, and you know, we create great tools and people love them. But what I'm always surprised about too, though, is how many security tools are in people's arsenals, and then when you try and integrate with them or you try and understand, they're not using them. It's kind of like buying the gym membership and putting it in your wallet, right? Expecting for changes, and I feel like there's a lot of that in security where people buy the tools and is sometimes I feel like they've purchased this tool not for risk on the company, but for risk on themselves, in the sense that I, you know, like I'm the CISO, or I'm in charge of security, all of that, and we have a breach. I want to show that we have the tool in place. but they don't have the resources to manage that tool. So I feel like, you know, this can be it. And I guess this is somewhere where my cynicism comes from of all these new categories is we're giving people new gym memberships for them to purchase, but they already have gym memberships that do the same thing.
That they are not using that?
That they're not using.
You know, like, fair metaphor.
Yeah. I have a gym membership. Ask me when the last time I went was. Ask me, I do. It was a long time ago.
I have that same gym membership, so we're all good. I think we're all just going to not ask each other that question.
You're at the same gym as me. I know that one.
That reminds me of the old saying. It's like, yeah, checking a box does not equal security. Compliance does not equal security. But I think that's where I think some of these tools, or not some of these tools, where many security tools fall into, like, well, we have the thing. I checked the box on the thing. If someone asks, we have the thing. No one asks the follow-up question. Like, the board of directors cares if we get breached. They don't care. Did you use the tool effectively that you got the budget for last time I talked to you? They're not asking that. They're asking, did we get breached? Did we actually lower our overall risk for our investors, which is a different risk than security altogether?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that came to mind as you were describing this was, like, how many pipelines, like how many teams are purchasing security tools? This is like we talked about shift left this last time in terms of kind of spreading out the responsibility of security. But it also, does that inherently mean that we have different security solutions in place in different parts of the organization and we are buying all kinds of security tools and all kinds of ways that we are trying to scan and make our code more secure, but we're duplicating effort across the organization? And I think the answer is absolutely yes.
Yeah. And sometimes it just comes down to what people are used to. And I think this is true for developers. I know of a use case where there was a company that had purchased a specific security tool. And I was chatting to one of my friends that worked for that company. I said, hey, this is cool. You guys can now do this. And they said, oh, no, we're not going to. We use something else in the developers. I was like, why? And I was like, well, we just know how to use that. So I was like, okay, so there is that disconnect. I'm briefly interrupting this episode to talk about the Security Repo's sponsor, GitGuardian. GitGuardian is a code security platform that specializes in detecting secrets in your development workflows and also in your code repositories. Not only can GitGuardian bring to the surface all of those leaked secrets from way back in the history in your projects, but it can also let you know when systems have been breached by using their brand new HoneyToken module. HoneyTokens are fake credentials that you can put in your environments and also in your third-party tools to know when they've been compromised. GitGuardian is free for all teams with less than 25 developers. You can sign up today at gitguardian.com. All right, back to the episode. But I want to steer this now into, you know, one of the specialties that you have at RegMonk Analysis is focusing on developer technologies. So, and I want to steer this next question kind of towards that. We've got a lot of things happening in security, and, you know, I've just kind of wrapped my head around everything and we add a new one in there. But where do you think we're going over the next coming year for security and in particular kind of developer security tooling? What is going to be the ultimate solution? Are we going to be able to shift to absolute zero? Are we going to have these tools that everyone's working? Because that the whole point of ASPM is we're giving you one dashboard to look at something, but the developers aren't going to be looking at that dashboard. So where are we going in the future for developer security?
Yeah, so as I kind of alluded to the platform engineering trend earlier, I do think that there's going to be a rise in platforms that developers can access that have some of these built-in security guardrails already in place that makes it easy for developers to kind of operate within existing constraints set by the security teams and make it a little bit easier for developers to build securely without having to know all of the security logistics that they like that might need to happen if they were truly a security expert. So, like, can we offload some of the security to a platform? I think that's absolutely a trend that is in place right now. So Number one, platform engineering, I think, or just can we offload some of that workload and some of that mental overhead into the platform and into our tooling? I think the other thing that is interesting is thinking about, we had talked before about shift left versus shift right. So I think, are there going to be kind of some of those developer-focused security tools that can be more and more capable? And so I do think, for me, a lot of the ASPM tools that are focused on some of that developer-focused workflows rather than the runtime-focused scans are going to be the ones that have more traction, because developer adoption is going to be the thing that really matters in a lot of these security tools, is can I get the developer to use it? And so the tools that are designed with developer experience in mind are the tools that I think and predict are going to be the ones that are more easily adopted, rather than kind of those traditional security tools that are kind of trying to shoehorn developer experience into their existing workflows.
There's been a very interesting conversation, and I think it's probably been, I've certainly enjoyed it. We've had a couple of laughs, and I hope people out there can relate. If you're in ASPM security, don't hate us. Well, I just want to understand what you do. But any final words before we close up for this episode, Duane?
No, I just want to say thanks very much. And to further on what you just said there, yeah, obviously we support good security tools that are helping people make good decisions. And yeah, we're poking fun at the acronym SOUP that is security. Shouldn't be anything new there. But I personally do feel like this is a step in the right direction, the same way that ASOC was a step in the right direction, the same way that CNAPP was a step in the right direction, where we've never evolved this fast. Like, I made a joke about Java 2004, you know, being the run, write once, run anywhere, but it's still there. It's still running. It's still widely adopted. But we've never been evolving this fast. Like, cloud native wasn't a thing back then. There couldn't have been a thing. There was no cloud back then. So I think that's the other piece of this big puzzle. And this is where I think I really appreciate this conversation of looking at, like, how did we get here and your predictions on what's coming next. Is what is going to change next overall in the world? We're not going to ask you to predict that, because that's literally predict.
Because then we're going to have a whole conversation on, is AI going to benefit or harm security?
Ooh, that's, no, we're not bringing up AI.
Because that's going to be where this all goes next.
We've had that question many times on this podcast.
It's good, but now we've said AI, we can claim that in the description.
Oh, so. Yeah.
But if I could have a final word, I would suggest that people go read. Duane wrote a lovely article about ASPM that is full of good resources. And so I think you should all go read that if you want to dive in more, because he has nice article, good description, and lots of good links.
Yes, yes. Yeah, no, I will agree, because, you know, that was the article that first made me even understand what ASPM was. Up until that point, I was just pretending. So thank you. And Duane, I'm going to put that in the show notes for you there, along with Red Monk's website, which you can go to. They have amazing thoughts and analysts that have put together lots of resources for trying to understand the developer technology world. So please also check out the Red Monk site. There'll be links to that in the show notes. And Rachel, thanks so much for doing another episode with us. It's been really valuable, and we appreciate you taking the time to spend with us, and can't wait to hear your thoughts on another episode in the future.